three, the analogy of backsliding. Leading guide us in our time together and help us to think through the whole text. And Lord, help us understand some things about you. You are a wonderful God, quietly working in the background. Help us to see what it's like when a person's trying to step on the other side of the line. Thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to our hearts and minds. Help us to make whatever change is necessary. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the saints say, amen. Well, then let's get on to our. It started off with with the psalmist. Let me say about Psalms. Psalms is like a sandwich. It starts off with God blessing man, blesses man. And then it ends up with man blessing God. There's a lot of things we miss out on getting in between. That's where all the goodies are. You find God doing something at the beginning. You have the man praising God at the end, but in the middle of it, we have an individual, and that's why I started this off with, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, I almost blew it. It's like a sheep wandering away from the flock, and the grass looked greener on the other side. It turned out to be artificial turf. And so here, this little sheep going there, and he's at his wit's end, and he doesn't know what else to do. The shepherd is not there to guide him. He's all by himself. It's amazing when you get locked into what the way you want to do things. And you know what? A lot of times you'll find God is strangely silent. And one of the reasons that God is strangely silent, because he wouldn't listen in the first place. Then didn't the Lord tell us, rejoice in the Lord what? Again, I say, Asaph was directing the music to Israel. It got so good at one time with the trumpets and everything else and praising God that they had to stop it because God came down and said, God took over the whole thing. Asaph was in the middle of all of this. Where did he go? How did he have time to do all of this? He was part of the Levitical line. He was director, one of the directors of the music. He was in good shape. God made sure David appointed by the king. He was in good shape. This shows something about folks. At what point are you satisfied? What does it take for you to be satisfied? And so we find that he says, he goes on, he says, I envied the ignorant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Let's go on. The review. We talk about the hook. Asaph was enticed to embrace the dark side. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, but I envied the ignorant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Asaph was devastated by the reality of the dark side. He couldn't put together, I don't understand. I'm worshiping God, leading worship service, good position and everything else, but yet and still, here this person, this rascal next door, talking about God, making fun of God, prosperous health, good health, everything going on, and here I am going through all of this. I would think that I would get a better deal. Could have been running on an assumption. Just because you do a lot of things, folks will pat you on the back. Why? Okay. What happens when no one says anything? Anything. Then what? What would be your attitude? Would you still work with all the zeal? Then the question is, what is it that's pushing you? The appraisal of men, the praise of man, or the appraisal of God? What is it that keeps you going when no one even listens to you? In the letter, Screwtape's letter, Wormwood, they wrote Screwtape, and Wormwood was, of course, one of the demons. And so he was saying to Screwtape, his dear Screwtape, said, I have a person here that I'm dealing with, and then he's in leadership, but somehow I just can't get a hold of him. I'm at my wit's end. And Screwtape, I read that book of Screwtape, and they warn you, don't read the whole thing all the way through. Guess what I did? Yeah, don't do it. So then what happened was, he said, dear Wormwood, said, one of the reasons why you don't have him in hand is because you're not doing what I told you to do. He said, number one, cause problems at home. His only solace now is to go to church. When he goes to church, cause problems at church. And then when he seems like he can't get any peace there, and he tries to pray, get his mind on everything but prayer. And then one word wrote back, dear Uncle Screwtape, subject is well in hand. So busy looking on the outside that they did not develop the inside. What do you think I'm doing on this year, all this year? Trying to build the inside so you can deal with the outside. We have more going for us and in us and through us than whatever this world has come up. That's why we're more than conquerors through him that love us. When you begin to think anything less than that, you're not fitting in or operating the way you should in Christ. So you grieve the Holy Spirit because he's the counselor with us and guidance with us. We fail to minister to how we should be ministered because we have our thumb in our mouth and saying, hey, I'll take my bat and ball and go home. Going where? Where are you going? But that's what the Psalm 139 says. Well, where should I flee from your presence? I can't go anywhere. What do you do when you get stalemate? And that's what we're dealing with now. And I want you to notice something. As we look at this whole thing about truly God is good to Israel, I want you to notice the silence of God. What is it? There's no preaching. There's nothing there to encourage him. You know why? Because he has his filter up. It's all there, but he's not hearing it because he's looking somewhere else. So we go on to the next slide. Here you go. Push the button. Next slide. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In innocence, I have washed my hands. He's going to internalize this. For I am afflicted all day long and punished every morning. This man was between a rock and a hard place. How can you be afflicted all day long and punished and everything else? And then on the other side, you're directing folks on praising God, music going. And meanwhile, you're fighting something within. This person was locked in, and there was no one to help him. He said, if I had said I will speak this way, then I would have betrayed your children. The Lord, if I would have shared what I feel right now, then all the praise and things that's going on in the tabernacle, I would have blown the whole thing. I would disgrace my position as a Levite. So he says, when I try to understand this, or stand all this, It was troublesome in my sight. How can you try to understand your predicament? If you understood your predicament, you'd probably be able to do something about it. That's why God permits us to take us beyond our ability to personally deal with it, or we'll be writing books and everything else, and book signing and everything. But when we get to a point where we're at a stalemate, where it was one that it's that sheep that has wandered and don't know where to go. Sheep, you literally cannot see about 10 feet in front of them. And so what happens when things come up? The sheep is always frightened. And guess what? The Lord says, mention us, all we like sheep have gone astray. He reaches in and he does not know what to do. Meanwhile, God is in the midst. El Roi, God sees it. El Shaddai, he's strong enough to deal with it. Jehovah Shammah, he's right there. Jehovah Nisha, he's able to supply his need. And you mean to tell me he's locked in? He's not, so he's locking out the blessings. And he's bewildered by what's happening. He can't see the balance. And sometimes when we lose it like that, there are individuals who commit suicide. Believers commit suicide. And that's the thing that really breaks my heart. Don't let whatever you're going through keep you from being who you are. Some of you can be stressed out because you're doing too much of a bunch of nothing. That's why we look at Mary and Martha. Martha was doing a whole lot of things, which were nice. But she had an agenda, and then she wanted Jesus to help her sister to help her finish her agenda. I said, No, Mary said, no, I'm going to sit at Jesus' feet. And guess what? He said, Martha, Martha, the stress, been bent out of shape. Martha, Martha, you worry about so many things. But Mary chose the right thing. This person is at his wit's end. And so he says, observation, seven things were not present in the psalmist's observation. Number one, the peace of God. He didn't have peace. He praised God with his lips. He was with the congregation, everybody praying and everything else, praising God with his lips, but his heart was from God. There's some folks who just come to morning worship, they sing the songs, whatever the case may be, they participate, but their hearts are far from God. The next thing is the prayer time before God. Not once is it mentioned that he prayed. In the greatness of his, the awesomeness of his process, he didn't stop and pray. And Jesus Christ made it very clear, man ought to always pray and not faint. The next thing that happened was he pondering over the goodness of God. He never did that. He never stop to look at what did God do all the way up to this point for you. Quit looking at other folks. What did God do all the way up to you? I was looking at just ministry and everything else. And we rehearsing with my wife, going over some things with my wife. And then Brandon and I were talking about all the things. Those were part of Chicago Land Bible Fellowship. All we went through. All the background things that God's timing was perfect for everything. And if we received what we wanted, we would have been bent out of shape, and I don't know where we'll be at this point. We're in the right place, right time, with the Holy God, and so all we need to do is get our thinking straight. And that's what it's all about. So negative thinking has no, no, next thing is, you don't receive blessings from negative thinking. And the thing that he's looking at has a timetable. All of that's going to pass. Oh, you want to look at the rich, that they look at, that they're famous and everything else? Who this football player was about in his 20s? And he died? Okay. He didn't die of old age. The other football players are looking at some of them. I'm not a football fan, but I just kind of just keep how things are going, you know, so I can seem to look a little bit intelligent. And so I was looking at some of the players, and what happens is that they're making millions and then bet for something like $10,000 and lose their careers over that. You want to be like them? You have lost your value system. You are operating without God. You want to be like them? Negative thinking. Now, of course, let's get the balance here. Let's flip to the next thing here. The several things were embedded in the psalmist observation. His craving for forbidden things of God. His concern and comparison of their lifestyle. His complaint concerning their health and well-being. His complaints and concern over their negative attitude and popularity. He was saying, Lord, look at this. Look at what these people are doing. Aren't you going to do anything? And God is silent. He's silent. Not a word. Not a prophet. He's working through all of this. Because you see, he's not standing in the will of God. He's standing in his want of what he wants to see happen. And he just can't understand it. And so this observation we have made were not a parable, but a testimony from a person whose foot almost slipped and his steps were on the brink of destruction. End of review. So now there's a flipping point here. Let's go to the next slide. Thinking it through, the Lord showed up at the lowest ebb of the entangled and frustration of Asaph's perplexed dilemma. Let's observe the steps in God's intervention. Now, understand something. At this point, God did not intervene. He was there all the time. His name is not mentioned, but he's right there at your lowest ebb. God quietly, and here's what caused me to do some thinking here, because we knows what says. But we'll go with the outline. Observe God's intervention. The Lord established the right environment. The Lord enlightened Asaph of the full picture. The Lord adjusted Asaph's misguided thinking. See, when a surgeon get in, the Lord knows exactly what to do in each one of our lives. That's what was number one. Here we go. The Lord established the right environment. Well, how did he do that? He says, until I entered God's sanctuary, then I discerned therein. I couldn't understand how this thing's going to turn out. I couldn't understand how this thing's going to come together. He says, until I went into the sanctuary. Paul says, what made him go into the sanctuary? What made him think, well, you know what? I'm going to the sanctuary, and I'll go to the sanctuary and think it through. He wasn't thinking it through all that time. Then what happened? He was at his wits' end, and all of a sudden, then is God's intervention. It's not loud. It's like Elijah the Tishbite. His voice might be soft, but he's leading you in the right direction. And so the first thing that God had to do was, I need to get you in the right place in order to do the right thing. You need a little surgery. So let me just take you in here, boy. God is good at that. He's good at that. He'll create a situation where you have to be still and know that I am God. That is so important. And so he entered, let's go back just back there. He entered God's sanctuary. God positioned Asaph in an environment that would cause him to look up rather than around at the dissatisfaction of life. His discernment understood their end. He said, I understood. Well, what did you understand? Let's go to the next slide now. Observation. There's a lesson we need to learn about God's intervention in Asaph's situation. I believe that God our Father does not condemn or our misunderstanding, but he will judge and confront us when we deliberately choose to depart from his will and his way. Do not. Why do you think this book keeps one of two messages on? Do not, do not, do not. Show the Old Testament, show the New Testament. Do not, do not. So then if you decide to do it, then don't expect the peace of God to follow you in it. Expect a whipping. See? Because God chastened those whom he loved. And so now we find the psalmist is taken to the sanctuary and God has a plan. The change in Asaph's thinking required a divine intervention revealing the truth. Asaph needed, let's read it together. Number one, the right person, the Lord. Next, the right place, the environment. Next, the right perspective. See, the next one is the right plan. Next, the right path, the will of God. See, none of this was, he didn't think through any of this when he was under pressure. You don't have right thinking when you're outside of the will of God. You're filled with opinions and I think and I feel. Then you go to your friends who are far away from God than you are, and they say, you know what I'll do, child? You know, if I was in that situation. But then when it doesn't work out, I say, well, I just told you what I feel. I didn't say it was right. But when God tells us to do something, when God steps in, it'll be right, and everybody else will argue against that. Say, if I was you, I wouldn't do that. I said, but no, this is the word of God. And having done all, what are you supposed to do? Stand. He said, I didn't understand that. I until I got into the sanctuary. It's at that point when I got into the sanctuary. He says, the Lord had with us did this thing. The Lord enlightened Asaph of the full picture. Said, Asaph, you want to see it? Okay. And so said, the what? Surely you set them on a slippery, on slick ground. The King James Version keep going through my mind. You cast them down into ruin. How suddenly are they laid waste? Completely swiped away. That adverb comes completely swiped away by terrors. Like one waking from a dream. So you, O Lord, awaken and despise their form. Then God showed up and says, and Lord, you really did something. They were on slippery slopes. And their lives were getting ready to be snuffed out. And they were arrogant. They were walking around talking about who is God. And God showed up. And guess what? God didn't have to say anything to them. All God had to do was shut them down. I was looking at the disasters that's happening in America, and I think about the whole idea of those who had riches and everything else. And as I look at what the mud and the rain and everything else, all that their investments wiped out. I mean, something, it never rained like this before. God said, well, you rich, rebuild. It costs something to operate outside of the will of God. And God says, watch this, Asa. You want to be like them? He says, I put them on slippery place. In other words, they are on a banana, can be slipped right into the grave, and they don't even know it. They think they're going somewhere. He said, listen, Asa. I can only talk to you right here in the sanctuary where I got your attention, where I'm able to hold your attention and to challenge you to change your mind. Do you want to go there? Asaph had to make a decision. Oh, see, because you directed the choir. You are a Levite. You were chosen by David and also by me. I'm not going to let you act crazy. That's another thing about it. God will not let you get all the way out there and act crazy. He'll give you a whipping in public. Okay? So be careful. Just because you're saved don't mean that you can do what you want. Being saved means you can do what you ought. And when you do what you ought, God blesses it. So, number three, the Lord adjusts Asaph's misguided thinking. When my heart was grieved and I was pierced within, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet, I'm always with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel and later receive me in glory. Lord, you're tender with me. You ever see children in the grocery store when they have to start acting crazy? And falling out, I want that. And the parent is quietly grabbed the child. I'm not gonna let you go into the public place and get yourself hurt. And the child doesn't understand it. Why can't I get what I want? One of the preachers came up with, if you don't get what you want, you better want what you get. And a lot of times we think we deserve, God says, no, you don't. No, you don't. And the flashbacks I've had now of God's blessing on Chicagoland Bible Fellowship, it wasn't based on a crowd. It's based on commitments of individuals and all that they had to go through, all that we had to go through. Flashback of the parades, I mean, the parades or the jogging and everything else. We had to get through all of that. And then sometimes the door would not be open to the auditorium. And I mean, just a number of things. Who was faithful, stayed faithful. Individuals who came over and broke the window. I had to go to the old leader, and she said, don't worry about it, we got you. God has us in difficult situations and the right person, and he never had to repeat it, okay? Because he has set a guarantee on our lives. Until we understand how special we are, we're going to keep acting like the world and reap all of the heartaches and misunderstanding, the misfortune that God never intended for us. Then he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth, I desire no one besides you. Hey, wow, he's coming to his senses, isn't he? He's not complaining now. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, I got a testimony. You see, a lot of times we go through things. And the purpose of the testimony, the test, is that you will have a testimony. Because he says, my flesh and my heart may fail. That'll happen. That's life. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. What? You would think the curtain would go down by then, but you see there's two other verses. And so the whole thing here is that we find he said, no, Lord, you changed my mind. But I had to get in a place where you can speak to my heart. Everything we go through requires a choice on our behalf. Do you trust God in this? Are you worried when I told you not to worry? Are you sleepless because of all the things you're going through? When the Lord, who neither sleeps nor slumber, is watching over you. I can understand medical challenges, but I cannot understand when we have everything going for us from the past to the present to the future, we're still acting like the world. And I want you all to pray for me because I don't have any money. Okay, all right. But won't you go to the benevolence committee? Don't you know that we have a benevolence committee? Don't you know, as a family, there's a lot of things, the things that can be met. Sometimes I just feel so sick. I think, well, it's Chicago, I'm talking about Chicagoland Land Bible Fellowship. Don't you know that we have an in-house nurse like Donna Person, or a therapist like Rochelle? I mean, don't you understand that? So folks who have some medical know-how, you mean tell me? So what's your complaint? Because I have an agenda and I want to do it my way. Oh, I see. Oh, I got it. So you want us to pray for what for your hard-headedness and obey the Lord. Oh, that's what you want us to pray for? Okay, watch this then. Lord, I pray for this hard-headed person who decided to do what you told them not to do in a big mess. Lord, change their mind and get them back to where they belong. See, Donna, that's hard. Hard. Listen, do you understand how many people are affected by negativity? Especially when a believer is negative toward the God who saved them? Justify that for me. Show me scripture. Show me, and I'll repent right here. And we've been more than conquerors to him that love us. Yes, we're going to go through storms. I'm not going to write it out. But the psalmist said, but whom do I have in heaven but you? The great I am, I have him. And yes, if I'm going through some struggles and I don't understand it, I'll go to a brother and sister that I can depend on and not a news media and just share with them. And they can pray for me one-on-one. And the tears that I share, I got a friend that will share my tears and understand. And we collectively go before God. Never wandering back to, I wish I had something better than that person in the world. You don't know what it took for them to get there. And you don't know what it takes to keep it there. And you don't know when it's going to end. And you don't know whether God's grace has not been received and they die in their sins. You want to be like that person? And so he recalled the hope and blessing God had secured for his future. He experienced God's restoration of his thinking. Remember, you know the verse. As a man thinks in his heart, what? What? One more time. You are the results of your thinking. If the Lord tells us to rejoice in the Lord always, that means that he has given you the ability, everything you need to rejoice in him under difficult circumstances. And then he gives examples in scripture. Job, who lost his 7 sons and 3 daughters, and livestock and servants and all the things that was going on. And when he went before the Lord, he said, naked I came into this world and naked I'm going out, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? I'm looking at his purpose and not the problem. Keep your mind on God's purpose for your life. And you become a purpose-driven servant and not be bogged down by the problems around you. Okay, then here we have the next 2 verses there. The what? Those far from you will surely perish. You will destroy all who are unfaithful to you. It didn't say you might, you could, you should, You will surely, they will surely perish. You will destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But, the conjunction with the function, as for me, remember he was saying at the beginning, as for me, my foot that almost slipped, my steps were well nigh gone. He said, but, now his whole tune have changed. And he's saying, but, as for me, it's good to draw near to God. Oh, no, you're feeling better now, huh? I have made the Lord my refuge, that I may proclaim all your works. I begin to look at things from God's perspective so I can do what he wants me to do while I'm still living. ASAP. You know, my challenge to all of us, that we keep this in mind. Let's go to one last thing. God our Father has made this very clear. We are forbidden to love the world. This is a non-negotiable command. 1 John 2:15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Next slide. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away along with its desires, but whosoever does the will of God abides forever. Wow. 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Consider this, God our Father knew our thoughts and decisions before he created us. The direction we choose carries with it the inevitable results. I'm my own person. No, you're not. Been bought with a price. We have responsibility to glorify God. I need to forgive myself. God already forgive you. You can't do anything better than that. What are you doing? Stay with God's plan and you'll have peace. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And the psalmist said, amen. That's my testimony. I'm not going out there again. And the shepherd brings the sheep, ASAP, back into the fold. He didn't take him down from his job as directing. It's all his responsibility. But he did help him change his mind. That makes a difference at the real oomph that he can put into directing the choirs and everything else. Let God put you where you should be, that you'll bless him and bless others. Well, you've been very patient through these three things, and praise God for that. Let's bow in prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you for the saints. Thank you for all that you're doing in and through each one of our lives. Help us, Lord, to avoid the pits, the things that are timed only for this life, and it can go over in just a second. It's not based on position, notoriety, not based on our intellectual powers. It's based on whether you want us here right now doing what you want us to do. It's not doing a lot of things, it's doing the right thing. And Satan will try to get us off track. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on you. I pray, Lord, that those who might be listening to the podcast later, if you're at your wit's end, I have a word for you. God cares. And God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. If you just believe in him, you will not perish but have everlasting life. I pray, Lord, that they will, you, that an individual, will believe that Jesus Christ is God, who came in the flesh, born of a virgin, who suffered and died on the cross of Calvary. But here's the key: the shedding of his blood washed away our sins. And so, Lord, I pray that they ask you into their lives saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Will you make me one of yours? And then for them to believe it and receive it. For those of us in the congregation, virtual, help us, Lord, to take inventory of our agenda and where you fit in our agenda. Are you number one, two, three, four? And help us to adjust it to glorify yourself in whatever we're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the saints said, amen. Our song, I'll Just Say Yes.